It's time to fire it up.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Holy cow, Barbecue Bob. We're almost in the middle of April. Time do fly when you're having fun, brother. I'm Jop. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
That's right, pal. It is flying, and it started to be nice, and now it's back to Michigan.
Right. And this weekend, we're bust maybe 60, get rid of that cold rain and a little bit of snowflakes that happened in the middle of the week. It was, you know, we ride that roller coaster, but I've got, you know, I live in the city. I live over on the Wyoming-Granville border.
City slicker.
Right. And I have the weirdest phenomenon. My cover is still on my pool. The ducks are landing on that thing every day, and they're walking around looking for a place to build a nest. And then my poodle doodle runs out there and scares them away. And then my backyard's fenced in. The front yard, then you'll see them land out there, and they're walking all over the neighborhood just looking for a place to put a nest in somebody's shrubbery or something. I not only live in a city, I got city ducks.
So you're trying to deport them?
What? Yeah, right.
No, Back to Canada?
The dog does. It's a pair of mallards, but I've never seen it like that, that they're really just walking around the neighborhood looking to see where the safe place is to raise a family or two. But so spring is here. It's in the air.
Well, I'm curious, right, with this weather, because I missed out on the first warm-up we had, but I'm just wondering if all the maple trees are going back into winter mode for a little bit and will start flowing sap again as soon as it warms up.
Well, if it warms up during the day and it freezes at night, that's when the sap moves. I grew up making maple syrup, and if it doesn't freeze at night, the sap doesn't go back down. But when it gets below freezing, it moves up and down from the roots to the branches, and that's when you collect it.
So maybe Saturday'd be a good day to put taps out?
No, I don't think it's going to get cold that cold at night. We had it all week, but I've actually got a lady that I work with that she and her husband do sap and make syrup, and they've already pulled their taps for the year.
Oh.
Because it once the leaves start to come out, and some of them have on some of the maple trees, it goes bitter. It's not as sweet as it was, because all the energy goes to the leaf. It doesn't come.
I got too many things to do. Then
I understand.
Here's my
recommendation. Go buy some from somebody that makes it, because you only need like a gallon a year. It goes a long ways, and it's wonderful.
You know, we go through a quart a month.
Well, there you go. So you need 4 gallons.
Lots of saps on the show.
There are, right? Yeah.
Speaking, your math is really good.
Right.
A quart a month is
four gallons, because you're going to go over. Yeah. But anyway, so it is spring, I think. I hope we're getting closer anyway.
A little fun fact on maple syrup.
Yeah.
The eastern end of the UP produces more maple syrup than the entire state of Vermont.
Really?
Yeah.
The eastern end.
Yeah, just the eastern end.
Okay. Heavy with maples up
there.
It
is.
Yep. Not so many pines as you get to the west.
Well, that's how little Vermont is and how big the UP is.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Like I said, I grew up doing it. It was a family thing. My great aunt and my brothers and I and everybody would haul sap. And that was back when they did it, when I first started in the late 70s.
When you had a sugar shack.
That's exactly where I was going. There was a sugar shack out there, and it was just a big vat that they ran a wood fire underneath it, and it boiled the sap. When you get maple sap, that's the liquid out of the tree, you boil it down, and then it becomes syrup. And it's about, if you've got a really sweet tree, it's about 6 gallons to one. If you've got average trees, it could be 8 or 10 gallons of sap makes 1 gallon of syrup. Sometimes it's even up to 20. It depends on the trees.
Our family farm was on the western end of the UP,
mm-hmm,
and we had a sugar shack.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not as many maples as the east end,
more
apparently.
More cedar up there.
Right. Yeah.
We had cedar had a shack,
tinge.
Too.
Had a little cedary taste in there, syrup.
Yeah. That sugar shack was made out of cedar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So I said kebabs because I made kebabs, and I was going to bring you guys some in this morning, and I had a coffee appointment before the recording and took off without it, without my brain. But I absolutely love, as you know, making shish kebabs. And
nothing better than meat on a stick, baby.
Well, I found that I only had a couple packs of sirloin left from my cow.
Oh.
Fortunately, May's right around the corner, and that's when my next cow comes in.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get rid of everything out of the freezer that I can right now, because I'm going to keep half for myself this time, and one of my sons is taking the other half, and I have to have room in that freezer.
Yeah, so you're
getting rid of all the junk.
You're planning on long-term tenants if you and Mo are keeping a half a cow for a
No,
year. Yeah.
I'm just tired of trying to find somebody to take a quarter, and I can use it so easily.
Well, the word's out that you give them all the liver, so that's why they don't want to
do,
be they don't want to be part of your
have
quarter
liver
program.
Available.
Yeah, I was on that quarter end one time, and I had a disproportionate amount of liver in the bottom of that cooler, hidden by all the, you know, the steaks and the roast and the burger.
He ripped you off?
No, he didn't rip me off. He just sent some liver my way. We'll put it that way.
We're going to have what's the Facebook fact checker? What's that called?
I don't
Snopes.
Know.
Snopes. We're going to Snopes
well,
that.
This fact was a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was an evil plot.
Right. It was funny. I had to laugh when I got there. But anyway, so we learned to...
Another reason I don't try to get somebody to take a quarter. You hear about it for years.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I had somebody that you know text me last year and go, I didn't get any steaks. I'm like, okay, you're off the list.
Right.
I'm not making the boxes up. Okay, the butcher, the
right.
slaughterhouse makes the box. He just puts numbers on them.
Right.
You're number one, you're number two, and you're number three and four.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah, nope, it's not worth it. For an extra $400 or $500, I can just have a freezer full of wonderful beef,
yep.
thanks to the Willoughby Farm up in Mount Pleasant.
There you go. It works. It works if you've got room.
Not a Willoughby as in an Australian animal either.
That's a wallaby. Not a Willoughby.
That's a wildebeest.
Right.
Oh, it is a wallaby, you're right.
So kebabs, let's talk a little bit about that, because we did touch on it just a second ago. Two or three secrets. You know where I'm going with this, but when you're cutting your protein, whether you're doing chicken or you're doing pork or you're doing beef, you always want the cuts of meat the same size. Don't put some big chunks on there and little chunks between them or anything, because they don't cook at the same pace. And if you're cooking to get the big ones done, the little ones are going to be overdone, and why bother, right? Cook, you know, whatever your cube size is.
Yeah, and
is.
Everybody has a different philosophy on kebabs, too. I've heard you say, and several people say, well, you know, don't let the vegetables touch them, all this stuff. I used my big Cajun, and it's a great big top. And
charcoal grill.
I had so many skewers. That it's a good thing I condensed them all tight to each other, because I could barely get them all on there. I made a monster portion of kebabs. But what I really like is when the onion and the pepper and all that is cooking next to the meat, and it's
sure.
it's infusing a little bit of that flavor. And, of course, I like my meat a little on the rare side.
Right.
So you do get a nice pink center when you do that. But this time I happened to actually marinate some zucchini, small zucchini.
That's one of nature's sponges. Boy, did zucchini suck up marinade.
And they were so wonderful on a kebab. For some reason, as many zucchini as I always grow, I never bothered to use them.
Right.
But
sometimes they can be a little too big around.
You cut them in, and these were small. So if you cut them into discs,
right.
they just... And I also do not any longer put my tomatoes on the skewer.
I was going to say that, too. Yeah.
I put those in a grilling screen pan, basically, that has a bunch of holes in it. And I just let those cook naturally alongside them. And then I use those Kalamata, Kala something.
Campari, I think.
Campari,
yeah. Right.
I'm thinking of the olives.
Right. They're a tomato about the size of a golf ball.
Perfect size.
Right. Yep. But the reason is that when you poke a hole in the tomato and then you start to put heat to the tomato, the juice all comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And you get this withered up, drier, almost like
don't make any references.
A grill dried tomato, and it's not good. You put them in the basket, leave them whole, don't pierce them. They'll cook up and get good.
So what my point is, the pictures of the skewers aren't quite as pretty with all that red.
Right.
But boy. Yeah. They sure turned out nice.
All right. So coming up next, it is spring. We're going to talk about a little wood-fired grilling. There's there's some unique things you need to learn about wood-fired grilling, because it isn't as easy as it sounds. It's been around forever, but you need to have some tips and techniques. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.